Whether you like ballet as a regular thing or not, you have to appreciate the artistry of Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. One look at a poster tells you this is a dance company unlike any other. The dancers are all dressed up for Swan Lake or something like it, all in dresses, and all men. The company broke ground when it formed decades ago with a mixture of good dance and good comedy. And for the first time, the Trocs are the subjects of a documentary film. Rebels on Point is a film by Bobby Jo Hart. She attended Southern Oregon University and brings the film with her to Ashland this weekend, part of both Varsity World Film Week and the Southern Oregon Pride Festival. That'll be 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Varsity Theater in Ashland. Bobby Jo Hart joins us by phone now. Hi, Bobby.
Hello. Good morning.
Good to have you here. So,
thank you.
I'm curious, what did you study at Southern Oregon University?
Well, actually, nothing to do with film. I studied international relations. I had an honors BA of international relations is what I graduated in.
So how did you end up in filmmaking?
Well, I was, after I graduated from Southern Oregon State, I had met a young man while I was windsurfing in Maui on spring break from Southern Oregon State. He was from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And then he came down for my graduation from SOSU and proposed to me. I said yes. So we moved to Hawaii for a year, taught windsurfing, then to Edmonton. And my first job there was as a communications coordinator at a college. And I hired this woman to do a video, her and her crew, promotional video to attract students to this college. And then she told me what she does normally is documentary filmmaking. And she talked about going to different countries and exploring other cultures through her work. And something clicked in my head. I mean, in high school, I always loved taking photos and created, you know, help with my friends' senior slideshows. And I was always wanting to document things. And so I fell into documentary filmmaking that way. So I went into publicity for a while and then found my first idea and pitched it to CBC. And they said yes. And I realized today, not today, but this year is my 20th anniversary as a documentary filmmaker. I released my first film 20 years ago.
Congratulations. And
Thank you.
I'm curious to know what that first documentary was.
It was about a nurse who moved to Pakistan to teach nursing at Aga Khan University with these young women in a culture where they're not supposed to touch men, that are not, you know, their husbands or direct family members. So these young women that are in a culture that is not respecting the vital work that they do. And so it was called A Calling to Care. And it was a celebration of nurses and how they, it really is a calling to do what they do. I mean, whether they're a nurse in North America or in Pakistan or somewhere else, that it was really a celebration of that vital part of our society, those people that just give so much. And especially in that culture, it was really challenging to witness how even more difficult it was for them. And so my degree, as I mentioned, was international relations. So all of my films have had to do with going into different environments, ways of life, different cultures, and the common thread I feel that I've been looking back at all the films is a celebration of our shared humanity. You know, what, yes, this environment or these people are different than what you're, you know, you meaning some people in the audience are used to. But at the end of the day, we all have so much in common, you know, the shared thread of dreams, family, falling in love, highs, lows, you know, needing determination to accomplish something, et cetera, et cetera. And so I tap into those threads, I believe, in each character or each person or film that I make. I realize that that's what comes out in the end, is that, yes, these dancers are in drag and they're wearing makeup and tutus and pointe shoes, but I was fascinated by, you know, who are the families behind this? Who are their loved ones? I mean, how did they navigate to actually be able to realize this as a dream? My degree at SOSU, it was Southern Oregon State College when I was there.
Right, now it's SOU, yeah.
Southern Oregon SOU. So it was really an invaluable base for me, and I'm so excited to return back there because it was an interdisciplinary degree. They allowed me to, I had international business classes and cross-cultural communications and so many amazing courses that really helped lay a foundation for this. And I learned filmmaking as I went. I mean, in terms of, you know, I first worked as an assistant director for several documentaries and documentary series, and I got to watch different directors and how they directed, how they interacted with the people they followed, and, oh, I really liked that, or I didn't necessarily, you know, identify with another style. And through that process of working as an assistant director, I guess, for 3-4 years, I started to develop my own approach before I made my first film.
So where are you based now, Bobby Jo Hart?
I'm based in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in Montreal now 20 years.
It's a wonderful
years.
City.
It is. Have you been there?
I have.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is a wonderful city.
It's been more than 20 years, though, so I'm definitely overdue.
Oh, well, now you know someone there. I will show you around.
Excellent. So Bobby Jo Hart, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of Rebels on Point about Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. What led you to the Trocs, Bobby?
Well, actually, 4 years ago, they came to Montreal, and I literally saw an ad in the newspaper for their performance at Place des Arts, our main cultural performance venue. And I just looked at that photo and I thought, who are these people? Like, how do I not know about them? And it just fascinated me. So I literally called their office in New York the next morning and I talked to Tori Dobrin, who's also in the film. He's their artistic director. And I said, hey, you guys fascinate me. May I come behind the scenes alone with my camera and just do a little research filming to see if there's a story there that I might like to follow for a film? And he said, okay. I mean, hats off to him for taking that leap of faith. And then the footage I shot about 5 days later when they, you know, I just shot it from backstage in the dressing rooms and from the wings. That footage ended up being the opening of the film. I didn't even realize it until I was watching the film a few months ago at a festival and realized, oh my gosh, that was that the innocent beginnings ended up being the opening scene. So that's how I found them. And then after I discovered them, I realized, I mean, the company's been around since 74.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. And that they really do have a cult following around the world. I mean, they're just coming back from Japan this week, where that's probably the most fans. For sure. I mean, they can walk around on the streets, not even in drag, you know, in makeup, et cetera, and fans will come up to them and want autographs, and so we shot a scene in Japan while they were there, and elsewhere, too. I mean, I was at the Vancouver International Film Festival before I flew down to Oregon yesterday, and there was sold-out screenings, and then I asked people by, you know, a show of hands, how many had seen them. And it was about 40% of the audience had seen them before, but still, it was exciting because 60% were similar to me that hadn't discovered the company yet. We're all asking, when can we see them? When can we see them? So it's fun because I think there's going to be some new audiences that come see them when they start to tour again. And, I mean, they're touring around the U.S. again starting in February, so that's exciting as well. That all these festivals that I'm doing in the States that being able to tell people, well, they're coming very soon.
They have an interesting place in the zeitgeist. It's one of those companies that if you've been around for any amount of time, you've probably heard the name or run across a picture of them and thought, well, this looks interesting. But if you don't focus on them, they can kind of escape your attention. They're not like super, super mainstream, I guess.
Right.
But been around a long time with a really durable following in lots of places. How did they get started, though? I want to get to the Rebels part of the, I mean, the On Point part we can get, you know, easy enough. But the Rebels part is the interesting thing.
Well, I mean, in 74, they were in a, you know, there was a few guys that, you know, put together, had this concept, the idea of doing this, you know, ballet and drag, and it was a little more, I'd say, slapstick at the time. But then it's eventually evolved, and it was still amazing when it was slapstick. They were in a loft in New York City, and then it just slowly evolved from there, and as Tori Dobrin says at one point in the film, the artistic director, there's always been a pull, you know, should they be really good dancers? Should it just be more slapstick? And so his contribution, as he says in the film, is to, why not have both? Why not have amazing dancers, but then be able to throw in? And what they do so brilliantly is parody. They do parody of Russian Imperial Ballet. They have, you know, they're paying homage to companies like the Ballet Russe, who really brought ballet and into the U.S. and traveled around in the early 1900s to little small cities across the U.S. and were traveling on these buses. And, you know, then in these companies, if someone would join that wasn't Russian, they still wanted to maintain the mystique of this is, you know, Les Ballets Russes, the Russian ballet. So they would change the person's name to something that sounded Russian. So there's all these really little inside jokes that the trucks do because they change the name of the dancers, too. You know, like, Natasha, please get off stage, Skaya, or, you know. And so, anyone who has any kind of basic history of ballet will get these inside jokes. But what's so beautiful, too, is that you're seeing all these families coming with kids. I mean, my sister, I told her about the trucks, and they came to Portland, Oregon, last year, and she brought all three of her kids, one a 10-year-old girl, a 14-year-old boy, and a 17-year-old girl, and they all loved it. They all left just laughing and smiling and really appreciating it for varied reasons. And so when they used to never have kids coming to these performances back in the 70s and 80s, and I mean, it's been relatively recently, but it's an amazing introduction to ballet. You know, it's non-intimidating. You can laugh. You can. You know, you're given permission to just react. I just think that their contributions to the art form are wonderful.
Bobby Jo Hart is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a former Southern Oregon University, well, actually Southern Oregon State College, it was still called back then when she graduated. She's a filmmaker. She's made the film about the Les Ballets Trocadero de Monte Carlo, men in tutus, basically, and her film is called Rebels on Point. It'll be shown as part of Varsity World Film Week and Southern Oregon Pride Week, 4 o'clock Saturday at the Varsity Theater in Ashland. You can join the conversation on the exchange now at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to underscore the artistry here because this is not just a bunch of guys with tutus and army boots or something. I mean, they go to the full costume, and they're good. They're good dancers.
Absolutely. I think what a lot of people don't realize, and they figure it out, I think, once they actually see them perform. When you're looking at the photo, it does seem, oh, these are a bunch of guys at drag that's going to be kind of a drag show, very, you know, slapstick. And your stomach is hurting from laughing by the end of the show. But by the same token, what you don't often realize or people don't realize is that every single dancer now that's in the company has come from serious ballet dance training since they were a kid. I mean, some of the top ballet schools in the world. And so now there are dancers, you know, boys that they've been given permission in some ways. It's been normalized to dance on point. So you see other companies that have been popping up over the last 5-10 years, you know, Ballet Boys and others that have popped up with men dancing on point. But Les Ballets Trocadero de Monte Carlo really broke ground. I mean, no one was doing it. And they normalized it in a sense, I mean, but as you'll learn from the film, the dancers, they would, you know, take out their point shoes in secrecy in an empty studio because they were afraid someone would catch them, and I mean, it was very much frowned upon. And so again, that's why I was fascinated to follow them and learn more about their lives growing up and their families as well, because I thought, wow, somebody, you know, in that home environment was supporting that desire to do something a little bit different outside the box. And as you'll discover in the film, you know, we go with Bobby Carter, who's African-American, and, you know, follow him home to Charleston. You know, his mom grew up, you know, and was first jobs was picking cotton, and she didn't want to do that and wanted to do other things. But had this son, you know, African-American, growing up gay and wanting to dance on point shoes. And the film ultimately is also a celebration of identity, that whoever you are is normal, and that we should have the right and be supported to express our identity in whatever shape, color, or form that it is, and that without those kinds of risk-taking and thinking outside the box and acting outside the box, we would never have some of the most wonderful artistic innovations that we have now and often take for granted.
I think we're hearing from some of the very people you're talking about. We have a clip that I plucked out of your trailer. So here's about 45 seconds of the trailer of Rebels on Point about Les Ballets Trocadero de Monte Carlo.
In the early years, the company was blackballed because of the gay element.
I begged off my first pair of pointe shoes and only whipped out in secrecy in the empty studio for fear of being caught.
I kind of wanted a little girl, but then I guess by default, I got a lot of the
feminine got a lady.
I can be myself. I can wear tutus, why not? Those little things change the world.
Change the World is one of the missions of Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, as portrayed in Bobby Jo Hart's film Rebels on Point. She's a Southern Oregon University alumna and is coming back with the movie to Ashland Saturday at 4 at the Varsity Theater. So the idea of changing the world and being blackballed as a company, I mean, they were not without their controversy when they started then.
Absolutely. And referring back to your question earlier about, you know, why the title has the word rebels in it, because they really are. I mean, taking an art form that has been looked at as very elite, there is still, as Mary Brennan, the dance critic for the Herald in Scotland, you know, comes on screen a few times in the film, and she speaks about, you know, that it's a ballet is still seen as an elite for, you know, art form, and I personally, I grew up in a family, you know, in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and then went to Southern Oregon State, and my father was a blue collar worker in construction, and we didn't go to the ballet. We didn't have this kind of exposure. It was a different kind of childhood, and I discovered and became interested in these art forms as an adult. But I often felt when I would go to the ballet or to classical music concert that I felt sometimes judged because I didn't have the knowledge that some people had that were there. Oh, you don't know about that ballet, or you don't know about that, you know, composer. And so I find that the trocs are helping make ballet more accessible to people like me at that time. You know, it's okay, come, laugh. You don't have to necessarily know about ballet, but you'll get a nice introduction. You're going to, you know, have a great time. You're going to see some amazing dance. And then it'll open up a little window to try to learn more. And so they're really rebels in that regard of breaking down that elite wall and making it accessible to a really wide audience. And I think, I have a dream that a traditional ballet company, whoever they may be, I mean, there's many around the world, that I'm looking forward to the day when they hire, for example, Chase Jauncey is one of the main characters in the film. He's from Lakeland, Florida, and he just won in January of this year. There's the UK Dance Awards every year, and it's one of the most elite dance awards in the world, and he won the award for Best Male Dancer. I mean, there were male dancers in the top ballet companies around the world, and he's the first dancer in drag to win this award, and that's a huge accomplishment. And so I would love to see a traditional company hire someone like Chase that and have them dance in a role as a female dancer and mix it up, you know, not necessarily have to be so traditional. And I think that's going to be coming sooner than later. And I think that's a risk that would really open up that world of traditional ballet to new audiences and also offer respect to the quality of dance that these men do. And because really on stage, whether you're a dancer or whether you're in a play or you're in a movie, you're playing a role. And Robert Carter mentions that in the film. You are becoming a character, you know, a prima ballerina. You're playing a role. So why not have a man in drag that plays the ballerina and dances amazingly as a ballerina? Just Carlos Hopi, who's from Cuba, another example, who is an incredible dancer, and if he was probably a bit taller, you know, he would be at a top dance company, as many of them would. They're just, you know, not necessarily the right size, et cetera, for a traditional ballet company, but they also want to dance in drag. They also want to dance in tutus and on point. So, but I'd love to see, you know, that rebel traditional ballet company come out and say, hey, let's mix it up.
Let's take a call. We have somebody who I think has seen them, Tony and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Bobby Jo Hart, the director of Rebels on Point.
Yes, good morning.
Tony.
Good morning. I don't know when you were here at college, but I saw the Trocs in the early 90s, and they played in North Medford High School. And they were well received. Of course, Medford is known to be culturally more advanced than Ashland, so I'm finally glad that they're coming. Oh, they're not coming to Ashland. It's just a movie, right?
Right, right.
Yes. It's just okay. But they were excellent. My wife, who knows a thing or two about ballet, having trained with ABT in her early days, tells me that technically they were superb back then. So in the early 90s, they came to Medford High School. So there'll probably a few people in this audience who may have seen them then.
All right. Thanks for giving us the tale on that, Tony. Appreciate that. So that was a bit of a gasp for you, Bobby Joe. I guess you didn't see them then.
No, I hadn't. I didn't even know that they existed. But there's people in Tony, like in the audiences that I've asked who've seen them, and different hands come up, and I saw them in the 70s here or here or here. And it's really interesting that your wife danced or trained with ABT, because in the film, James Whiteside, who's a principal dancer now with ABT, he's a huge fan of the troc. So he really brings an interesting perspective at dancing in a traditional ballet company and how he views the troc. So it adds a nice perspective to the film. So I hope you and your wife can come on Saturday. I'd love to see you there.
Thanks for the story, Tony, again. So you were, nobody else had been allowed to do a documentary of the trocs before, is that right?
Well, there's a couple films that have been done which were purely performance documentaries that someone would, you know, rent a theater, and they would have the company, they'd film them with, you know, a few different cameras just doing performances. But no cinema verite documentary behind the scenes had ever been done. I couldn't believe it. And I'm not sure why, but I was just honored to be able to be that person, to the first person to be able to be trusted to go behind the scenes. And because Tori Dobrin, the artistic director, he used to dance with the company, as you'll see in the film. But he's very protective of the company, because they really are a professional dance company. It's incredible, the hours they rehearse, the professionalism when they do performances. I mean, it's just like, I mean, the staff behind them, they have a skeleton staff of like 4 or 5 people that travel with them, where it's, you know, traditional ballet companies often have, you know, I don't know, sometimes 1-2 dozen people. And
a lot of people, yeah. They really work hard. That is quite clear. And you have worked hard to make this as well. The film is called Rebels on Point. It is about the company Les Ballets Trocadero de Monte Carlo. And it'll be airing is what we do on the radio, screening 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Varsity Theater in Ashland, part of Varsity World Film Week and Southern Oregon Pride. Bobby Joe Hart, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you very much. I'll be there on Saturday, so hope to see you there.
All right, take care.